As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. Jason Mackey in for the guys, along with Austin Bechtold behind the glass. Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. This hour, before the Bechtold breakdown, which comes your way at 12:30, I wanted to get into a little bit of fun stuff, a little bit more fun stuff. WrestleMania this weekend. I can't say I'm the biggest wrestling fan I used to be. I guess I wish I was a little bit more of a wrestling fan. I enjoyed it. I just don't have enough time in my day. But if you do, we were going to kick around the idea of heels and baby faces in Pittsburgh sports. The genesis of this is something I was asked in a Post-Gazette mailbag, and I think a few of them are fairly obvious. I'm hoping by bringing it up in this way, maybe the text line, maybe Austin, maybe a phone call, 412-928-9370, can help shed light on somebody else. I will start with sort of how I answered this. I think Bob Nutting is unfortunately, or fortunately, or whatever you want to say, probably the easiest heel. If we look at, you know, people that make people upset, I understand that. And that's sort of the basis I use for this. You're a heel if people get mad about your actions. I think Mike Tomlin would probably fall into that category. Art Rooney II. Penguins-wise, I'm not sure if anybody thinks that way about Mike Sullivan or Kyle Dubas. Maybe you do. Maybe you get frustrated at some of the moves Dubas has made so far. I think Ron Hextall was in that territory at some point. Players-wise, I don't know about Steelers players who feel like heels. I think George Pickens sometimes has some heel to him, but then whenever he's doing George Pickens things, he's more of a babyface. I don't know if there's a, you know, if that's a straight or a linear comparison. Penguins-wise, probably Carlson, Jari, Graves, I'd say in the heels category. Some of the babyfaces that I cited, Paul Skeens is going to be up there. Andrew McCutcheon is going to be up there. And Pirates-wise, some of the heels have to put the current regime in there as well. There are unfortunately a lot of Pirates names in the heel category at the moment until things change, or if they change, Travis Williams, Ben Cherington, and Derek Shelton. Again, using it, not saying they're bad people because they're not, but I'm talking about their actions. Do they negatively affect people, or do they make people frustrated? And I would certainly put them in the heels category. I guess Steelers-wise, Cam Hayward, TJ Watt go in there for me. Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang can also go in the babyface category. Most of what they do, I think it generally makes people happy. They're going to get the benefit of the doubt. Baseball-wise, I'd give it to Brian Reynolds. O'Neill Cruz is an interesting one for me. He's almost like George Pickens comparison. You know, when he does something good, it's really good and people get excited. You also have people who defend him to the end of the earth. You also have people who seem to be, you know, just like offended by O'Neill Cruz's presence. I'm in the middle on Cruz. I appreciate all that he does well. I acknowledge improvements that he needs to make. I think he has some flaws. I think he has some flaws that frustrate people and need to be cleaned up for the Pirates to be better. But I can't really get mad and call him a heel. I don't know. Limits, who am I missing?
Some texters pointed out some previous names like Marian Hossa.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Devin Bush is a heel.
Peel, yep.
Those are some that immediately came to mind to the text line. For me, I think you touched on a lot of the more favorable people that are here in Pittsburgh sports. Troy Polamalu is an all-time.
Oh, he's an all-time face. Jack Lambert's an all-time face.
Yeah, I know we're talking about a lot more current ones. Offensively for the Steelers, Pat Freiermuth could be.
I missed that.
I think Pat's he's really embraced the Yinzer culture. I think he's here mostly year-round. And I saw him at the McAfee show when I was in line. He was just getting out of his car with a bunch of his buddies and was going to the show. Kind of surprised that he wasn't
on stage
for that show. But Pat's definitely one that comes to mind. Not that many other Pirates. I mean, David Bednar a couple years ago definitely was, but everything that's transpired since has probably taken him off of that list.
Yep.
Penguins-wise, I think you hit on it with the main three. Brian Rust could also slide there.
Yeah, he could. You're right. Penguins-wise, I don't know why this is. Other than Hossa, it's hard to find a heel. Right? Fleury would be a face. I don't think there's much he could do that would make people mad.
No.
Jim Rutherford's kind of back and forth. I think there's a lot of people that think Jim was really great, and I'd probably be on this side of the equation. I think there's some other people that feel like he left town, left them in a bad spot.
Well, I think both is true. He did here, bringing two cups, I think you should be eternally grateful for. But the way that it ended was definitely not good. And that might be the same conversation that we end up having with Mike Sullivan. Really good coach. One, Stanley Cup winner, but ultimately it's fallen flat. And ideally you remember him for winning cups and not for how it transpired in the last 6 years, not being able to have any playoff success.
Where does Ben Roethlisberger fit on that list?
Oh, he's definitely in the favorable category.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, two Super Bowls, still here, has adopted the culture, and his podcast, I think, is given Ben a lot more. There's definitely people that are huge Ben fans, and there are people that are anti-Ben. I think the podcast has helped him, though, in that regard, to kind of explain some things, have a lot of other Steeler guests on. Somebody mentions Rowdy Tellez in the text line as a heel turn.
Heel turn?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know about it.
Here's a good one. Jágr.
Again, which one?
Jágr as a heel.
No.
And then turning back into a baby face. Maybe beginning that, then turning into a heel, and then turning back.
Yeah. Jágr's had kind of a pro wrestling career here. I would agree with that. But right now, Jágr is very squarely a face.
Two other texters mentioned Tom Barrasso as a heel.
Yeah. If you talk to older writers, Starkey would be one of these, or Dave Molinari, guys that covered the team around then. Tom Barrasso was... Boy, he sounds like a trip to have covered.
Yeah.
I only dealt with Tom once. this is funny. I was doing a story on Marc-Andre Fleury. I think he's passing one of Barrasso's records or whatever, and I knew that Rutherford knew him. And so I texted Jim trying to get Barrasso, to talk about Fleury. And I forget how this came up, but I was like, yeah, I'm kind of surprised you did this. And he goes, yeah, it was all Jim. He's the only reason I'm talking to you. Or something like that. Like, it was this sideways kind of I hate the media comment. But Barrasso was great. He was fantastic. He's a very good quote, very good goaltender. Played on not a great goaltending situation, but has a reputation for. I see why people say the heel thing. He, could not be warm and fuzzy. That's for sure.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've been working with a Nourish dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
All right, Jason, let's get into it. It's the Bechtold Breakdown for this Friday, April 18th, 2025, brought to you by our good friends at Southside Plumbing and Heating and our good friend Southside Jake. Big news that has just come down on the quarterback front in the NFL draft as one Joe Starkey's own favorite quarterback, Jackson Dart, is now off the list of expected draft attendees. Dart, even though Jalen Milroe is still planning to attend the draft, Jackson Dart, who many believe to be a first-round pick, is not going to attend anymore. Reasons still unknown.
He still could be picked, though.
Right.
I'm saying he wouldn't be the first guy picked who wasn't. I think it's more notable when you add somebody to the list.
Yes.
Like Jalen Milroe going to the draft tells you that, oh, man, they must have some intel this guy's going to go in the first round. I don't read as much into it when it's going the other way.
I don't know. To me, this sounds like Jackson Dart might not be taken as high as he originally thought, and he doesn't want to sweat it out in the green room. Now, maybe he wants to spend it with his family. But if that was the case, why wasn't that a part of the original conversation when you were offered an invitation?
Right.
You know, like,
well, in Jackson Dart's defense, it's been really tough to make heads or tails of his draft stock. As we sit here right now, I don't know where he's going. I don't have any idea. Like first round or third. It could be either one.
Well, he's going to be a first round pick.
You think so?
Yes.
Guaranteed?
Guaranteed. He's going to be a first round pick.
Okay.
Every mock draft imaginable has him there, and I'm not using that as gospel.
But yeah.
The level of importance that the quarterback position holds in all sports and holds in the NFL, and everyone's searching for one in terms of, I mean, what do you think? There are like 6-7 teams that are still looking for a quarterback, even if they have a guy, but they're not entirely like Miami could even pick him. How do they feel about Tua, who's constantly been injured? Do the Raiders maybe decide to take a quarterback, even though they paid Geno Smith? Would somebody? So situations like that.
I want to know how a quarterback at the beginning of this process is thought of as like a third, fourth, or fifth round guy. And now Jackson Dart is like unquestionably a first round guy,
right?
Without playing any games.
Uh huh. It's ridiculous. Like, I don't think he's a first round quarterback. I would not take him. But I do think that the performance that he had at the combine, also paired with Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders not being there, elevated Dart because, oh, he's the best looking quarterback here out of this current group. The other two are not here. So out of everybody that we saw at the combine, which a lot of people take stock in, his stock elevated. And how much is valued on the interviews that take place at the combine, pre-draft visits, stuff like that, that could be elevating Jackson Dart's stock. Should it? Probably not, but those are things that help.
Yep.
So I find it pretty notable.
That's fair. I like it.
All right. Next
up,
Alex Ovechkin received a Rolex watch from Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby. A gift from the Penguins to Ovi after the game yesterday. And it made me think of just the way that things have changed, where Sid and Ovi, they've agreed that once their career's over with, they're going to sit down and have a couple beers and chat it up. And Evgeny Malkin, obviously, the pride of Russia with Ovechkin and the pride that they both have in their country. I wonder if Alex Ovechkin is going to stay in the States when he ultimately does retire, whenever that is. And it's probably going to be in the next year or two. He could still play. He scored, what, 40-plus goals?
44.
Yeah. So I do wonder if Gino and Ovechkin will stay in the country and help, because I think Malkin probably has 1 year left, if they will stay here and help grow the game of hockey or not, or if they will go back to Russia. I don't know. I hope they stay.
I bet Gino goes to Miami eventually. I think they there's a pool over there. Wouldn't surprise me if they both ended up like Pavel Datsyuk did and play a couple years in the KHL. But after that, I do think they'd probably come back to the States.
Why do you think that they would want to go back to Russia and play?
Because I think it's like a responsibility over there. to give Russian fans, like, even if it's a lesser version of yourself, to, like, you know, a sign of patriotism to play in a Russian pro league. Yeah. I don't know if that's what they're going to do, but that's why guys do it.
That's why a lot of guys do it. Kind of like, is that similar to like what Jágr did over the last couple of years too?
Yeah,
the Pride?
I mean, I think Jágr just wanted to keep playing. He probably didn't want to do it in the NHL. I don't know if he probably could do it in the NHL. It's just like, you're not as good. You're not very good, but he can go own his team in like a Czech B league. And I think he probably made some money off it. And he's one of the better players on the team for a while. I mean, not anymore, but he just got to indulge his hockey itch. Maybe that was some civic responsibility. I don't know. But, you know, with guys like Gino and Ovechkin and other Russian players, that's a lot of why you see them go back there.
Sure, the Penguins have signed Jágr to a one-day contract to play on his bobblehead day?
Yes.
On the fourth line?
Absolutely. They should sign him to a one-year contract. Screw it.
Do you think he'd be able to actually compete for a game?
I think he'd be okay for a game. Yeah. I don't think yeah. They've rolled out a lot worse.
Why would that not be a realistic consideration then for them?
Maybe he didn't want to do it.
Do you think he was asked?
It might be too farcical. You know, for like, sign a one-day contract. I mean, maybe that's something. But I mean, he's already officially retired, so you can't like retire twice. And I just don't think they would want to have the spectacle of putting him in a game.
Too much paperwork?
Too much paperwork. It's all digital now anyway.
Next, there's a 105-player cap, as we know, in college football for roster limits. Matt, was this one of your topics?
No, Dom just quote tweeted our heel babyface.
Intern Dom tweet. Intern I had Dom. One of those coming up in the breakdown.
I'm sorry to jump that. I just saw it and I shook my fist. And Kenny Pickett, we completely missed. How did we miss that?
That's all
on me. It was my topic. How did I not bring that up?
Yeah, that's a huge turn.
Whiff.
With Kenny Pickett no longer wanting
miss.
To be,
all right, sorry,
wanting
awesome.
To be a part of this. Due to the 105-player cap, Matt Rhule, he's the coach at Nebraska, former Carolina Panthers coach, he's adding a scrimmage to the April 26 Husker Games. So Nebraska, instead of doing a spring game because they're so concerned that players are going to be poached off their roster, even though they're having their spring game the same day as Penn State, which is a day after the portal closes, whatever, they're doing the Husker Games on the 26th for players not projected to make the roster.
So it's like the toilet bowl.
There's going to be a scrimmage for players not projected to make the roster. So what I don't understand about this is there going to be an extension for the portal that these guys can enter? Are they going to already enter the portal and yet still have this scrimmage, even though that they're actively looking for a different team? The state of college football with all this, for me, is just so ludicrous. And the NCAA is doing a bad job of regulating it, of putting any rules and restrictions on this. There are no rules. There are no restrictions. Now you're getting the government involved and there's court decisions. Jason, this is just, and look, I think that the players should be paid within reason. I think it should be a system where they get the benefit off their NIL. But this whole thing has spiraled more and more and more by the day to a point where it's going to be, I don't know if they're going to be able to rein this thing in.
It's a disaster. It really is. You know what I don't understand, Austin? Number one, why there's not better regulations? Just put guys on contracts. Just put them on levels of contracts. You've got a one-year contract. Okay, this guy's a free agent. His contract's up. I mean, ditch any idea of amateurism.
It doesn't exist anymore.
The scrimmage is just funny. Like, what is that for? What's the point? I mean, that's almost like a participation trophy.
To showcase players that are going to be going into the portal, like guys that will not make their 105-player cap.
But you're saying it's after the portal's closed.
I don't get it.
So where are they going? Where are they going?
So are they already going into the portal, but yet
it's like the world's earliest audition for the next portal?
I guess.
It just sounds like you're giving them something to do. Like, I don't know. Maybe they're charging money for tickets and just putting an entertaining product there. I don't know. That sounds very confusing.
It makes a very, very little sense.
I hate it. I understand there's an audience that still watches college football. I also think there's an audience that really struggles with it. And just because there's an audience that watches it, I don't like it. It shouldn't be above regulation or better regulation. I don't know about you. I think college football is college sports in general are just in a terrible spot right now. The audience could be very, very high, and they're wasting it with this lack of regulation just being the wild, wild west.
Syracuse wide receiver Trevor Penna is visiting Penn State today, a wide receiver. He's considered the top wide receiver available in the portal. Jason, if Penn State's able to land this top receiver, they could put him in the slot, they could move him around a little bit. What is your outlook for Penn State football next year? I know you follow it decently close.
I do. I love it. I love it, which I married into a Pitt family, and my parents went to Pitt, and this is probably an unpopular opinion, but I really enjoy following Penn State football. I think you and I are aligned on that.
Oh, yes.
One.
I flew 1,000 miles to watch them lose against Notre Dame at the kick of a field goal that was kicked right towards me because I was sitting in the end zone with a couple of seconds left.
Austin, they're a top 4 team next year.
They are.
If not higher.
They could
be. If they get Penna, if they get the wide receiver situation figured out, which they did not have last year, I mean, I think Drew Aller can win the Heisman. People might scoff at that.
He's a candidate. I wouldn't go that far.
Well, I said he can win it.
He can,
A candidate can win it. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he is going
to
win it.
Top 5 to start the year, but I think he's definitely in the top 10.
Yeah, you would put him in your top 5. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Which team or teams do you have above Penn State right now?
I naturally put Ohio State ahead of them just until I see Penn State actually beat Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, so Penn State lost a lot, but they will get some. You know they're going to have guys.
All that they lost was Abdul Carter, Tyler Warren, which, again, they're both top 10 picks. Like, that's losing a lot.
Right.
Kobe King at linebacker, you can fill in for him. Tamir Robinson, the Brashear product, just transferred. He just entered the portal. Kind of surprised about that because I've talked to him before about it, and he seemed like he was pretty much in on the program, and I thought he was going to take a step up. They lost KJ Winston, but he didn't play the whole year anyway at safety. He got hurt. And Jalen Reed.
Is Wheatley back?
Wheatley's back.
Yep.
Aller's back. Dennis Sutton's back on the defensive line.
He's a monster.
Yeah.
Limits. I like him a lot. Singleton, Allen.
Singleton and Allen.
2,000-yard backs.
Now, the entire wide receiver room is gone. They brought in Kyron Hudson from USC. Devontae Ross from Troy, the receiver, is in. Trevor, this Penna guy, if they bring him in at wide receiver, who almost posted 1,000 yards with Kyle McCord last year and was an all-ACC player, that could be the move. Veteran, 23-year-old wide receiver, where these wide receivers are just about as old as me that are transferring into programs. I think, I really do, Jason, that I'm already saving my money, let's put it this way, for what a college football playoff run could look like this upcoming year.
Yeah.
And a Big Ten championship
run.
As
you should, man. As you should. This is going to be a good team. Going to be an exciting season. Changes the opinion of James Franklin a little bit, does it not? I mean, I don't think anybody's putting him up here with, the top 5 coaches in the country, but he has an opportunity to shed the stigma that has followed him about winning the big game. He did it a little bit last year, not enough.
I have been a big critic of James Franklin at times. Like, he's a very good recruiter. His in-game coaching drives me insane at times. It just baffles me. James Franklin is not the reason why they lost that game against Notre Dame. Drew Aller making an inexcusable interception over the middle of the field is a big reason why. And also Jalen Reed and whatever happened at corner just falling down and allowing Notre Dame to have a walk-in touchdown respond right after, I think it was Warren or maybe Singleton, scored with 6 minutes left. 6 minutes left in the game. This drove me insane, Jason. Listen to this. I'm sitting and the guy right in front of me was already booking his flight to Atlanta for the national championship.
No!
And I said, buddy, don't even put that into my mind. Why are you doing that? And he's like, well, I can easily cancel it or whatever. I was like, don't even put like the football gods into that type of realm to think that this thing is already locked up. It was like a tie game at that point. I was like, what are you thinking? 6 minutes left. I'm looking at my sister right next to me. I'm like, we might be going to Atlanta in like a week. We might be making that 12-hour drive again like we did for the Peach Bowl. And
well, at least
we know what
at
happened.
Least now we know why they lost.
Yes.
Thank you and the friend in
Thank
front
you to
of
that guy right now. Not a friend, just a random guy.
I know.
Thank you to him. But yeah, I think James Franklin could shake that stigma. He's not the reason I don't think that they lost that Notre Dame game. The players just flat out did not execute. So if he can get over the top this year, I look at it very similar, and I wrote a story about it. It's a very similar year, I think, what it could be, to Ohio State last year with their $20 million roster. If they bring in this receiver, you're probably paying them $1 million. All the money that they're handing out to a lot of the other guys to stay. It's similar to what Michigan did after their disappointing losses, bringing back their whole team, going undefeated, winning the national championship. And Ohio State with their $20 million roster last year where so many defensive players came back and they won it all. Like, this is the blueprint for Penn State. Now it's time to execute and actually do it and get it done.
I think the experience at quarterback and limiting turnovers, limiting the killer interception that you're talking about. I mean, you think about J.J. McCarthy with Michigan, Will Howard with Ohio State. Like, you're bringing in unquestioned guys with miles on the tires, seasoning, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Man, and they're going to have that with Drew. And he's due to have a season where you really see his ability shine through. And it's been uneven, you know. And I know he has his detractors out there because of the mistakes he's made. But if you can find a way to smooth that out, man, I agree with you.
Yeah, and I'm a huge Drew Aller truther, supporter. Maybe you could put me in the apologist category.
I'm with you.
For Drew Aller.
I
think he can be that type of guy.
Same.
He is somebody who I want the Steelers to pick in the first round of the draft next year if he improves. Now, he needs to significantly grow up in the biggest moments. Like, I like Drew a lot, but he has not been good against Ohio State. He's not been good against Michigan. He was not good at all in that Notre Dame game. There are steps that need to be taken, but that's why I thought he should have went back for another year and can take it.
Yep.
All right, moving on. Jaylen Warren. How about this? I saw some numbers from Warren Sharp that he put out there about what could be the Steelers' number one back, and unless they draft Ashton Jeanty, probably will be. Warren, according to Sharp, is one of three running backs to average over 5 yards per touch in the last three seasons. And his ranking out of 48 running backs that have had 300-plus carries since 22, he's second in explosive run rate, 6 in yards after contact, 6 in yards per carry, and 6 in success rate on his carries. Is Jaylen Warren prone for a breakout this year?
If he can hold on to the ball and stay healthy. That's the way I look at it.
Because he has been banged up a little bit.
And he's fumbled a lot.
He's fumbled. Yeah, he's put the
ball
on the ground.
He has more fumbles than touchdowns at this point in his career.
Really?
It's close.
I don't think he had a rushing touchdown last year.
I'm going to pull that up. So I think it's important. But yes, I think he could be poised for a breakout. I also question how much he's going to be used, though. And, I mean, they're paying him a pretty good amount of money. So, I mean, you're going to want to see him get the ball. But they're going to draft a running back. They're going to want to get that guy involved. They're going to want to get Kenneth Gainwell involved. So, I mean, it could be a breakout year, but it might be a breakout year to the tune of 700 yards, which, honestly, Austin, if they have an effective running game and that's how they do that, I'm completely fine with it. I don't need to see a 1,000-yard back. I think it might be better for the Steelers that they don't have one, honestly.
He had one rushing touchdown last year, 2 fumbles. Career-wise, you're right, 7 fumbles to 6 total touchdowns.
Yep.
He also does not have a receiving touchdown in his career. How about that?
I know. For somebody who's actually pretty good out of the backfield.
Yes, a good receiving threat. I mean,
well, of course, look at the quarterbacks the Steelers have had over the past 3 years, too. He hasn't had a lot of opportunities.
I know he's got a lot of dink and dump type of plays and screen passes, but 26 yards is his career long is 30 yards receiving. His career long in terms of rushing, 74. That blows Najee Harris's, right around 40, below 40, right out the window. So I think he could take that step, too. It's also going to depend on how this offensive line continues to grow and develop.
I'm not as worried about the offensive line, Austin.
No.
I'm not. I think you put Broderick Jones in his proper spot. You get Troy Fautanu back healthy. I liked what I saw from Zach Frazier. I have no question about Isaac Seumalo at left guard. Mason McCormick was pretty good. That's not to say I wouldn't like them to add an offensive lineman as a little bit of depth. You know there's going to be an injury there. But if those five stay healthy and can play together for a lot of the year, I think they'll be okay.
Finally, this is a question posed by a texter that I've seen put up here before. Texter asks, what do you think about Sid letting Geno wear the captain's C in his last home game next year? Which could be the final game of
the
Lincoln
Malkin's
career. Not for the full season, just for his final game at home.
Sure. I don't know. I honest to God, don't think that Geno cares.
No?
I don't think it means one bit to him.
Well, he does go last out of the tunnel. That
right.
means something to him.
Well, that means something. The weird stuff. I don't think Geno needs to have a C stitched on his sweater. But, I mean, it is a cool gesture.
Yeah, for just one game?
I like the gesture. I guess what I'm saying is I don't think Malkin would, you know, if you never did it, I don't think Malkin would, feel jilted or care whatsoever. He's just that kind of personality.
Two more heels to consider, Antonio Brown and James Harrison for the Steelers. Thoughts about that?
Yeah, they're both. We should have separated because, I mean, if you think about AB, the good stuff, that's a face. I mean, he's jumping up on the goalpost, and I don't know what I can say and what I can't say, but you know the image that I'm talking about. People are loving that.
Oh, yeah.
The immaculate extension, and then he goes bonkers, and then, he turns into a heel. James Harrison 1.0, I mean, people love Debo. Even 2.0, you know, you think about the story about him sleeping in a meeting, that obviously doesn't go over well, but yeah, I just think they're back and forth. It's not clear cut. Hey, real quick, while we're talking about the Najee Harris thing,
yeah,
can you guess his like the longest run of his career?
This Considering that Joe has said it like 75 times, I should know it off by heart by now. I think it's like 36 yards.
There you go.
It is 36.
37.
37.
Yep. I think I knew it was short. I didn't know it was that short.
Yeah, it's not good.
Nope.
Especially because at Alabama, I mean, he didn't break off a lot of long runs, but he seemed like a guy that was going to be prone to do so.
Right. Right.
Never worked out.
All right.
The Bechtel Breakdown for this Friday, April 18th, thanks to our friends at Southside Plumbing and Heating.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails. Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.